time for some basketball talk, and to do that, we get on the phone line and welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hi there, John.
That's just, you know, you guys are the best. You're just the best to me.
We try to take care of you because we love you, John. We love you a lot more than we love these Celtics who are frustrating the heck out of, well, everybody, but apparently themselves, that they're frustrated too by what's going on.
Yeah, I think it would be very disturbing if they were just like, eh, no problem, we'll get through it. This team is still kind of, I think, they're not happy with themselves sometimes. I think it shows how tough this season has been on everybody, that they are at least somewhat self-aware that what they've been putting out on the floor has been tough. It's like late last week, I forget which game it was, but Jaylen Brown afterwards, after a loss, said, you know, I know this has probably been tough to watch, but it's been tough to play in too. And I had to clean that up for the radio. That's how frustrated these guys are. So in some ways, you can say that's not a bad thing, because at least they are motivated to find a way past this tough stretch.
And you wrote about it on Boston Sports Journal. Part of this is, it is a young team, and they're still in search of consistent maturity, I guess we'd call it.
Yeah, like, we're looking at Jason Tatum, who's about to turn 23. Jaylen Brown is 24. And I know that we look at these young men as, you know, fully grown, fully formed, fully mature individuals. For some reason, once you put on a uniform and take to the floor, I feel like everybody just assumes that these people are just as emotionally, intellectually, socially mature as all of us who may be in our 40s or beyond. In a lot of ways, as a person who's pretty close to the beyond part, but luckily still in my 40s, I still look at these guys as somewhat as kids in a lot of ways. Like, they are young, in their early 20s, and man, I hope nobody took my behavior at the age of 23 and applied that to the rest of my life, because, oh man, I would have been in trouble. And I think that just speaks to some of the learning curve. These guys, you have to understand that they're only just coming onto their own. Last year, they did have a little bit of a crutch with Gordon Hayward. I think we underestimate how much Gordon Hayward meant to this team. And sure, he left in search of more opportunity and more a chance to showcase himself. But for these guys, he was such a crutch. When things went wrong, he would make the right play. Find the right guy who is open. You get play good positional defense. You know, make a shot or two. Now they're doing it on their own. They didn't even have the benefit of a healthy Kemba Walker, and they haven't had a stabilizing force in Marcus Smart. So, in a lot of ways, even though these guys have been to conference finals, they are still learning a lot about themselves and their games.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Jason Tatum still putting up very good numbers, but as you pointed out, teams are attacking him quite often in the fourth quarter by doubling up on him.
Yeah, it's just one of those strategies that I think we saw it, you know, it began last year with the Lakers. And again, when you have Gordon Hayward there, it kind of helped. You just swung the ball to Hayward and he would swing the ball and you know, a couple of swings and the right guy has the ball. This year, Tatum is holding the ball a little bit too long. The guys that he's looking for, you know, Jaylen Brown is maybe on the other side of the floor, and you're running a pick and roll with Tristan Thompson or Daniel Tice, and maybe those guys might be a little slow, especially Tristan Thompson, who hasn't played a ton with these guys. And then he swings it to Jaylen Brown, and that next swing right now is to Aaron Nesmith. And maybe Jaylen Brown doesn't want to swing the ball to Aaron Nesmith. Maybe he would feel more comfortable if Gordon Hayward or Marcus Smart were there in the corner. And that all just kind of is the tumble down. And maybe Jaylen Brown doesn't feel like he's getting enough opportunities. And he has been frustrated. And he has said that he said after the New Orleans loss that he wanted the Celtics to play faster so that he could get more opportunities. And maybe sometimes when you don't get the ball as much as you think you should, when you do get it, instead of swinging and making the next right play, you take a shot because you don't know when that next shot is going to come. So a lot of these little nuanced things, these all behavioral things that are happening here, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some film. It's going to take some health. And hopefully those things can get them past this.
And, John, you've suggested, too, that Brad Stevens may want to try an adjustment to his timeout strategy.
Yeah, you know, that's been a thing that has come up here and there. I feel like Brad Stevens likes to let his guys figure things out. And so as a run is developing from the other team, he wants his team to be able to withstand it, make their own way through it, because you're not always going to have a couple of timeouts to spend to refocus them. And if the other team scores two baskets in a row or three baskets in a row, you don't want to always be calling that timeout, because what happens if you've lost the timeout, maybe you've lost the challenge, and you don't have one to give, and the other team scores three in a row in a playoff game, and now what? And Brad Stevens, I think his theory is that I want the guys to be used to that situation, say, okay, no problem. Not looking over to the bench to say, hey, where's my timeout? Bail us out. However, in this situation, when things have been so frustratingly bad, when the team is not whole, when there is a tendency to just for them to not figure it out, maybe at least in the short term, he does call these timeouts a minute or so sooner. So against New Orleans, when Zion Williamson has the putback dunk with, I think it was 10 minutes on the clock, rather than waiting until they cut the lead down to five with 8 minutes left on the clock. Like, that's a situation where you say, maybe right now Brad calls the timeout, organizes the guys as he talked about doing in their only practice yesterday, and then sends them out there with at least a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more, you know, clarity, calm, and then hopefully they can start to work their way through it. I do think that he might need to take a little step in that direction just to settle these guys, because right now they're not even settling themselves to put themselves in a position to overcome these other teams' runs.
Mavericks tonight, and they've been struggling themselves through much of the season, although playing a little bit better. They've won six of their last 10. What's the key tonight for the Celtics on the road?
Well, I think this is an opportunity, because the Mavericks are not going to have Porzingis. They're not going to have Maxi Kleber, and they're on a back-to-back. So the key for me is to come out strong, come out fast, and try to beat any sense of a comeback out of them early, and see if you can build not just the big lead, but build on the big lead. And this way, maybe they can just kind of quit a little bit, because without Kleber or Porzingis, there's a lot less size, and it's going to be a whole lot on Luka Doncic to overcome. So just get to the rim, attack, and try to build that lead early.
All comes together tonight and starts a brand new winning streak for the Celtics, so we're thinking positive here.
Yeah, well, they hope so, for sure. John, if they lose this one, it's going to be bad.
We appreciate it, as always, John. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll visit with you again next Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, I'll talk to you then.
John Corrales talking Celtics here on Downtown. Check out his work, of course, the Locked on Celtics podcast and Boston Sports Journal.